We're talking about this idea of Moses, his face shone when he came from the mount after he'd seen the pattern of God. We're talking about how Jesus, not only his face, his whole body shone after his transfiguration. Let's go look and see what's supposed to happen with us. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4.
Can I ask what got you started on this shining face language?
What we're studying in Ecclesiastes. The wisdom causes his face to shine.
I know that part. But I thought maybe you had some experience.
Second Corinthians chapter 4. Well, actually, we have to start in chapter 3, verse 12. Shut up. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, and this is the critical, remember the whole idea of that light, the shining, the luminescence comes from the light that is already within. But you, by your opinions, your ideas, blind or cover or veil the light. And so that's why, well, there's another reason why that I study this intently, is because when I first read Romans back 72, and that incredible scripture that we studied yesterday, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed or transfigured by the renewing of our mind. And that word renewing, I spent days trying to figure it out. It's anakinesis. It's a gradual conforming to that which was, is, and will be. And the gradualness isn't dependent on time, it's dependent on our obedience. You have one goal in life, and that's to be transfigured. There's no other purpose in living for a believer. And that transfiguration happens only by the instrumentality of renewal of the mind, of bringing every thought into obedience or into captivity of Christ. Every single thought. And as I've said forever, there is no thought in your mind that can stand against it is finished. Everybody got this then as a predicate. So now we all, with open face, you don't have to explain open face, do I? With open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed, and again, metamorpho, transformed, transfigured into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. Remember, fainting is really the subject of the last few weeks. Quitting in your mind. every single time something happens that you don't like or that doesn't meet what you think it should be, then you quit faith in your mind and you move to the mountains and just to your own redemption, to your own silver. And it just puts more and more silver on the back of the glass so that wherever you look, you just see more of yourself. What?
I'm just looking at you. That's all right. Nothing there.
We have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, of really cleverness, scheming, plans, ideas, solutions, smart-ass comments.
No, just say, witty inventions.
Smart-ass comments.
Speaking of.
Witty inventions. Are you getting a picture here that there's something far greater than you can ever dream of if you would just have the courage to be instead of trying to be? We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty or cleverness, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by open manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And the predicate for all of this is open, open, transparent. If you're thinking something, you say it. There is no more governing yourself. There's no more trying to be. There's just being. Oh, I'll wait until a proper time. All of the proper things are really your own silver, your own redemption. Everything that you've learned, the right time to speak, social behavior so you can exist, all of them are now enemies of the cross of Christ.
You know, it's amazing. There's not one thing you can do that's right. I mean, you might end up doing something that seems okay, but if you're doing it, it's not right.
You're working it. Nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now you remember the word of God, handling the word of God deceitfully there. You remember that's that technical thing where you add water to the wine for the purposes of commerce. In other words, you dilute the cross. You dilute the necessity of death by preaching a how-to. You add water to the wine for the purposes of commerce. It's easy to see it when some idiot does it on television. But they're only doing it on television so you can see how you do it silently. Because all of that is cleverness, deceit, the opposite of openness. Do you understand? Waiting for the right time to speak, or figuring out something that you should say, or any of it, instead of just being.
I saw this last night in forms of zeal. Zeal is black or white. There's no shades of gray at all in zeal. It's when you start negotiating and watering it down that your zeal.
Commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. That's the saddest thing in the universe. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. How is he blinded? The same way the veil is done, the veil is over the mystery. All you can see is how does this affect me? Your only response, your only being as towards self, instead of the reckless abandonment of yourself, leaving yourself behind, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, and that, remember, he moved over the waters, the face of the deep, and the Holy Spirit said, let there be light. The Holy Spirit is still saying today, let there be light. Moving over the face of the deep, moving over your face of your darkness, moving over your cleverness, your subtle attempts to save yourself. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Not anything about our light. There is no light that we have except Him. There's no clever sayings. There's no little things that you can invent. There's no memorized scripture. There's no memorizing something to hide the Word of God in your heart. The Word of God isn't this Bible. The Word of God is Jesus Christ. And this is the words about the Word. And that word has a manifestation. The manifestation is light. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Nothing can cause us to go back up to the mountain. Nothing can cause us to leave the moment of dependency on the Father. Persecuted but not forsaken. Cast down but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. You understand, if you're trying to speak, you can't. If you're trying to sit down and decide what you're going to say, you won't. If there's the second, if there's a millisecond of processing, it can't be.
Because you'll get interrupted.
Because it's mixed with you.
Nice track.
All right, let's look at some the shining stuff with the light. Remember this word that we studied yesterday. There's two words. One is Quran, and the other is Ur. Now, the ones we're going to study today are the Ur, which is to make luminous in the Hebrew. We studied yesterday number 6 and Job 41.
It seems like there was a cliffhanger yesterday.
It was.
You were going to talk about Job.
I did. And who was the Leviathan? I answered the cliffhanger. You were Leviathan. You remember that?
Yeah.
Okay.
But you're going to trace the process in Job.
Well, I'll do that later. I'm on another. Let's go to Psalm 30, 31. We're going to look at some Psalms. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Now, from God's perspective, the effect of you being ashamed is that you leave faith and go to your own devices. You understand that?
Say it again. You leave your own shame?
No. You leave the... In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. And what it says, in thee only, O Lord, do I put my trust. There's never an act, there's nothing in the universe that can keep me from saying, Father, this is yours. And so, the reason, let me never be ashamed, from God's perspective, you are ashamed of Him the instant that you lean on your own arm of understanding or your own mind to develop a solution to the thing that you're in. That, to you, is what you're hardwired to do. But spiritually, that proves to God that you're ashamed. Am I communicating?
It's like closed-faced instead of
open-faced. Open-faced, yeah. What this entails is you, the faith must be so complete that you've lost the capacity to believe that the situation you're in should be different than it is. No matter what it is.
But in order to do that, you have to believe that He is good and that He is who He states in His Word according to His promises. I mean, if you don't trust in Him, you're not going to receive those trials or tribulations that come your way.
And then you're not a believer. According to God, you're a believer in some other God. You believe a false gospel.
But it is a convincing on our part, right?
What is a convincing?
That He is good. You have to believe that He is good, otherwise you won't receive His hand. You won't receive His trials. You're just going to...
Well, no. I don't believe that good or bad has anything to do with it. You have to make a judgment about being good. That means you may have... It means you think you only ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of evil instead of the fruit of knowledge of good and evil.
But God is good.
God is good from not your perspective. You will never believe God is good from your perspective because you will bring your own judgments about good and evil into your knowledge of Him. Do you think it's good that I have suffered constant pain for 26 years?
For your faith, yes.
But I would never have thought that's good.
Emotionally you wouldn't, but you can agree with it.
it's not even an issue.
Amen. Because you are convinced that He is good. Right?
Not by my definition of good.
Not by man's definition of
good. My definition of good says this place and me doing what I'm doing right now is a nightmare. I wouldn't consider doing this with any aspect of my mind. I wouldn't consider it. It wouldn't happen. There's nothing good about this place to my mind. So which part of me am I convincing I'm good or He's good? It has nothing to do with good or evil. You sound like you're in danger of becoming a follower of Creflo Dollar.
Thank you. I don't think you think God is good.
Of course he does. He preaches it. You know what the biggest reason that people have left this place is? Because they couldn't believe that God could possibly be the author of something that they didn't consider good.
I agree.
And you will leave then.
No. I agree that God is good and that most people do walk away from the Lord because they don't want to receive His trust. They don't see it as good or that God is good.
Have you ever seen chastisement as being good in the midst of the chastisement?
No, you don't see it that way, but you believe it. You accept it.
You're playing with words.
Okay.
Thou art bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for a house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. What is, who's saying this? This is written by the Spirit of Christ in David. It's written for Christ in his manifestation. And now it's written for Christ in you. It has nothing to do with you. If once you put you as a subject of any of these sentences, then you've lost. Do you understand that? Isn't that what you just did? Put you as a subject of your sentence? What you think is good? You is a subject? Oh, which is the new man? Tell me about that part of you. How do you find that part?
Only by the revelation of Christ.
Anthony, look, I promise you something. You can never, ever hear all this unless you know everything else is crap. I have seen the travail which God hath given the sons of men to be exercised or humbled or emptied in it. If any part of you can believe that chastisement is good, then I'll bow down and worship you.
Why would you do that?
Because you must have the mind of God. You must be God incarnate.
Christ does live within our heart, right? And we are a new creation in Him, right?
Who is? Who's the you?
Well, the new you.
And which you is that?
Christ within me.
Okay, but what happened to the old you?
It was crucified.
And what happened? What's this thing up here doing?
A natural, it's a war. It's trying to resurrect itself. Yeah. But
can you trust me a minute? Do you believe every time that you're the subject of your sentence that you resurrected him? You are the one that gives breath and life to the instead of Christ?
I don't know if I understand that.
Okay.
But I mean, I wanted to.
How many times did you use I in the last 3 seconds? Four. That's a big deal. This isn't a little matter. You cannot use that which is cursed to gain that which is blessed. And until you know that your mind, your being, is the instead of Christ, you will never understand. You are the Antichrist. You have put yourself in the temple of God, showing yourself that you are God. Now, which part of you are you going to talk about now?
Hopefully, the part that is resurrected in Christ. That's what I would hope.
That part is only revealed in your abandonment of self, giving no thought for yourself in any way. That's what repentance means. Then which eye are you talking about? The one that used 4 times in 3 seconds.
Well, I don't know if just because you use the subject or say
problem with the human race, with all of us, is that we want to be in cooperation with God. We want to retain the right to judge a situation that transpires, whether it's beneficial or not beneficial, whether it's enhancing or not enhancing. The best that the human race can do is self for self. And you will search the scriptures. You will the great example of this is this, the famous scripture that everybody uses. And it says in James, "Be ye a doer of the word and not a hearer only." And then they put their own definition of what doing that word means. But the doer, the hearer of the word only, is one who looks into the perfect law of liberty and sees his natural face as in a glass. And instantly, he says, he goes away and forgetteth what kind of man he was, because he's trying to learn something from the mystery. But the doer of the word, not the hearer, is the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty and remains therein, never seeing himself. That man is a doer of the word and shall be blessed in his deed. But the minute you are aware of what you're doing, then you have become a hearer of the word and not a doer. Now, I mean, I didn't make that up. Read James, first chapter of James. I have heard that so often that somebody has some harebrained idea of what they think that, that people should do, and say, so they try to talk everybody else into doing what they thought up and said to be a doer of the word. Doesn't mean that at all. Anybody else heard that besides me? Go to James. We'll come back to it. James is right after Hebrews. Chapter 1. Verse 22. But be you doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Now, the tie-in to this is that's the whole issue. You behold your natural face in a glass because you are still trying to work out to have, be your own redemption by your activities. So here again. If any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, in other words, you look into here and see the perfect law of liberty, which is always Jesus Christ. That's the only one you see. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The minute I put me, I, in the scriptures, or in my thought process, then I become a hearer of the word and not a doer of it. Now that can be explained by: when I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child, I acted as a child. When I became an adult, I put away the childish things. But for a new believer coming in, I can understand it. Well, this is the manufacturer's handbook. It tells me how I can fix myself and what I can do and how I can... And that's fine for about... as long as you just believe in Jesus. But Galatians is clear. It says you believe in him, and that's just the merest of the beginnings. so that you will be justified by the faith of Him. So it's His faith by which you live. The minute you return to your faith, you become a hearer of the word only and not a doer. This is like quantum physics. But the minute you become the subject, then everything goes away.
I still get confused every time we talk about this passage.
Which one?
This is James 22.
Okay, tie it into Galatians 16, or Galatians 2, 16 to 20. It says we are, let's go there.
Do it.
I mean, you can, there's a jillion that's everywhere, but General Electric Power Company, First and Second Corinthians, then General Electric Power Company. Galatians 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Now what are the things that you destroyed? You. You have built yourself, every aspect of you. You have invented yourself. And still are. For I, through the law, am dead to the law that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. That means dead. That means you died 2,000 years ago and you've come to the understanding that my being was an invented being. I invented myself. I created me because I went always, as we've said so often, I move from the first moment of self-awareness. You move toward pleasure, away from pain. And by that, you have invented yourself. But now, I am crucified with Christ. I died 2,000 years ago, and I recognize that this being that is I have thought I was a golem, was a mist. It was a mist, a puff of smoke. And the best I can be is simply a vessel that has no consciousness of self. But I can't know that until I have done and tried and pushed everything else. That's why you owe your thoughts, your mind, you owe this being nothing. Because every time you pay the debt back to you, then you've resurrected the evil one from his deadly head wound.
Christ tries to, in the process of resurrection, put on the veneer of Christ.
He's masquerading as an angel of light. That's all he can do. But the point of it is, it's not somebody else over there, it's you. It's a big deal. It really is. If I am right, God help us. If I am wrong, you should run away. Your mind is what gets in the way of the light shining.
That's the veil, isn't it?
That's the veil. Yes. Oh, aren't you supposed to use your mind? If you haven't used your mind all to the fullest extent of its idiocy, then you... Oh, come now, let us reason together. What is the end of reason? Your sin is as scarlet. What is the end of all human activity? All human thought? What is the end of it? Go to any discipline of science. What is the end of it? Chaos. Whether it's high energy physics, whether it's chemistry, whether it's math, go to any discipline. If you're honest, psychology or psychobabble, it's all chaos. And until you know that the best that this beast can be is chaos, you'll still use this beast to try to understand. You'll try to use this which is cursed to gain this which is blessed. This isn't just cursed, it says it's enmity. That means it's a hatred, it's enmity against God. That means it's a hatred so complete that one of you has to die. That's why you crucify the Son of God afresh, constantly. That's why you count the blood of the covenant as an unholy thing, because you walk on it underfoot. The moment you lean on your own arm of understanding about any issue. The love of Christ constraineth us, for we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. If you don't know that, then everything, I mean, the rest of the...
If you don't got the predicate, then there's nothing but deception. That's a bumper sticker.
Oh, well, how about... Let's stop continental drift.
Oh, the predicate is if you're looking for yourself in there, then your predicate's wrong.
Right.
No. You're looking to see Christ and remain therein.
What got me was when I always thought when he separates the wheat and the chaff, that the chaff is the bad part of me. The wheat is the good part. And when I finally realized I am all chaff, the entire being, all the even the good parts are chaff. The only thing that's wheat is good.
The best that the human race can be is a friend of the bridegroom. And from this, we aren't the church. The church will come out of us. But the church is something so majestic, so incredible, that we can't even comprehend it. As long as you are the subject of even your salvation sentence, you're going to be deceived. You'll walk in deception, and every little con man that comes down the pike can take advantage of you. Only that which came from eternity can return to eternity. He alone has immortality. Where does that leave you? It leaves you as single individual members of a mystery called the body of Christ, which is made up of the ecclesia, the called out ones that are being conformed to that image. But it's only that part of you which came from eternity that is going to return. Only that part of you which came from God can return to God. Which part is that? Oh, it's all of me. I'm going to see my little puppy and my little grandmother. We've got golf courses in heaven. The reason I know that is because I like to play golf. I probably also got hookers in heaven, but never mind. I didn't say that.
Sorry.
Take it, big guy. I don't want to talk anymore.